Hello, Wolves fans, and welcome to the latest episode of the Fancast Pre-Match. It's your host, Little Dan. I'm here with Richard Stearman this week, 2008-2009 Championship member of the Team of the Season, Wolves Player of the Season from the 2014-15 season, opening the scoring with the first goal in our famous win at Anfield. And everyone knows he come from Wolverhampton, but luckily for him, he didn't get the accent. How you doing, Rich?
Very good, mate. Very good. Thanks for having me. It's been a while coming, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Delighted to be with you.
It only seems like yesterday you were pulling on the old goal, but it's been a good 4 or 5 years now, is it?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's been a while, but like you say, it feels like yesterday. Obviously, spent the majority of my career at Wolverhampton, so very happy memories there. And obviously, I still keep an eye on everything that's going on and you know, wish them for the future.
So, yes, quickly get into it. Obviously, Wolves suffered a 3-2 defeat at home to West Ham on Monday, missing a massive number of key players, not just on Monday, throughout the season. What have you made of Wolves so far this season and the game from Monday?
It's probably been a little bit frustrating, hasn't it? I mean, the horrid luck they've had with injuries, etc., you know, as a lot of teams, but it seems to have hit Wolves quite hard, has really been desperate to the season. I think, you know, most fans looking for sort of top half sort of finish, pushing for Europa spots again, and it's just not quite happened that way. And you know, to lose another few key players right before the game the other day is a devastating blow, and it obviously resulted in, you know, another loss. So hopefully we can get as many back out there as soon as possible.
So I think sort of quickly looking back on the game on Monday, some sort of looking back over the last couple of seasons, quite uncharacteristic goals that sort of Wolves conceded. Obviously, you've been deep into the sort of the pandemic football that we're in now. How difficult is it for teams to sort of be organised as much as they can be nowadays with COVID testing and players coming back from international duty with issues and whatnot? How difficult have you found it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a minefield, really. You know, it's great that players are joining up with their countries. It obviously means that they're playing well. It's a bit of a double-edged sword. You want your players to do well enough to get selected and then pray that they come back safe and sound. And unfortunately, you know, Wolves lost a couple, or certainly Moutinho from his international duty. Regarding sort of the COVID stuff, yeah, we've just kind of got to get on with it. We get tested a couple of times a week, and you know, although the tests are probably as accurate as you know they could be, it does pick up the odd case here and there, and losing body as well right before the game was a big blow, and you know, looking forward to the Fulham game, I think he'll be a massive miss. And certainly up against an informed Mitrovic.
Yeah, obviously Alexander Mitrovic always been a handful as a target man wherever he's been, similar to Mikel Antonio for West Ham on Monday night. That was quite a bit of a blessing when he went off injured, because it could have got even worse for Wolves at 3-0 with him. You play sort of numerous positions for Wolves, predominantly centre-back, but you did have a spell playing right-back for Wolves. How difficult is it sort of not having an 11 that's consistent at this a Premier League level? And obviously we've had sort of Wolves in the last couple of seasons being predominantly a back five. Nuno's fleeted between the back five and a back four. Is that one of the reasons why Wolves have maybe struggled more defensively this season, do you think?
I think possibly in seasons gone by, Wolves have been very set in the players, personnel and the system they've been playing. And due to sort of players coming and going or injury or whatever it might be, Nuno's not had sort of that basis to play from. And that's been sort of the foundations of Wolves' success over recent seasons has been in the defence and how organised they are. And it can be tough when personnel changes, when the system changes. Footballers are, you know, they're versatile players, but you know, you want to be set in a position with a partner, with a unit, you know, most weeks. And unfortunately for Nuno, that hasn't been the case.
Obviously, Wolves away to Fulham on Friday night, one of your former clubs. How have you thought Fulham have fared this season? Obviously, coming up from the Championship, they started quite terribly, but they seem to have kicked into gear recently.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly making a better fist of it than the last time they came up. I think they've maybe learned a little bit from that time. Scott Parker, the manager, I was fortunate enough to play with him at Fulham. An incredible professional and guy, and you know, I'm happy for him that he's brought some success to the club. I think, yeah, you're right. At the start of the season, they struggled, and he had to make some bold decisions. And I think you've seen, you know, those decisions come into fruition. And they had, up until the last three games where they've lost three on the spin, they put together a decent run of games, and it sort of dragged them back into, you know, the possibility of jumping out of the relegation zone. So they'll be pretty high on confidence going into the next run of games. And, you know, Wolves will be, it'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough game for Wolves, certainly.
From a sort of, with a sensible head, are Wolves safe this season?
I think so. I think, you know, they've only won one in the last five or six, picking up a couple of draws as well. That sort of form should see Wolves sort of fall over the line a little bit. But, I mean, that's not really what the Wolves fans want to hear. They want to see the team sort of push on to as close to mid-table as they can, pick up some points, gain a little bit of momentum going into the summer and sort of be able to look forward to next season. I mean, yeah, get safe and put survival to bed and then sort of look upwards. But that is to start picking up some.
Right. What's your sort of feelings in regards to Fulham? Do you think they can sort of stay up? If they beat Wolves on Friday, they're only 6 points behind Wolves. They've obviously got momentum now. Do you feel it's between Fulham, Newcastle, West Brom for those last two relegation places? I think Sheffield United are pretty much gone unless there's some sort of miracle, isn't it?
I think so. I think you're right. West Brom obviously had a very good result today. It's given them a slight bit more hope, but for me, it's probably out of Fulham and Newcastle for that last spot. I think they play each other on the final game of the season, and I think that could be a massive sort of, you know, whoever wins stays up situations. So, yeah, they'll be looking to pick up as many points as they can. They've got that game on the back burner to sort of have a real good goal on the final day of the season. I don't think they'll catch Wolves. I think Wolves will probably, like I say, stumble over the line, but quite comfortably. That's my hope anyway. So, yeah, it's obviously it's a good game for both teams to sort of either jump out of the relegation zone or shoot yourself back at the table. So I'm certainly looking forward to anyway.
Obviously, looking back to sort of the 2014-2015 season, our first time back in the Championship after we got promoted from League One, you were player of the season that season, which is obviously a nice little achievement to have in the sort of the archives to look back on one day. Because you're only 33, I'm 34 now, so you've still got plenty of time left in the career for you, for something to nice to look back on. You joined Fulham in that summer, and then midway sort of through that season, you get the call to come back to Wolves. What was your sort of feelings at the time on that?
Yeah, obviously, leaving Wolves was a big gut wrench. It wasn't something I was looking at doing, to be honest. Things sort of transpired and I ended up at Fulham, and, you know, a very, very good club, a very classy club. Things didn't quite work out for me there, and yeah, the following season, sort of close to the deadline in the summer window, yeah, get the call that Wolves are looking for a centre half. Would I be interested in going back? And you know, I was gobsmacked. I nearly dropped the phone. I was like, yes. I was on the phone to my agent. Do whatever you can, get it done. whatever it takes, whatever I've got to sacrifice, I'm not interested. I just want to get back and play for Wolves. And it was quite an emotional time for myself and my wife. We were, you know, jumping for joy that was a possibility, and luckily it sort of came to fruition, and I got another season in the old gold. And yeah, it's something I really cherish and I'm thankful for.
Yeah, so it was great to have you back at that time. Was it the orange chips that was a positive for you to come back to Wolverhampton, or was it you just weren't really keen on the quiche down in West London?
Well, ultimately, I wanted to play games, and who better to play games for than Wolves? Like I said, it didn't quite work out for me in that I had several managers. They wanted different personnel. It just is the way football works. So yeah, the chance to come back home almost, it was too good to turn down. It was something that I was desperate to do, and thankfully it sort of came to fruition.
So now, when you actually came back up for the second time, I think you did have a couple of spells where you actually captained the side. What was the feeling of that, captaining your hometown club?
Yeah, the dream come true stuff, really. I've been fortunate in that I've probably managed to wear the armband for every team I've played for, but to do it for Wolves was a massive honour. And although I wasn't sort of club captain, just to be able to lead the team out, it was, like I say, a big thing for me. I sort of play the game as if I'm always the captain without actually wearing the armband quite often. But you know, to have that honour was a big thing for myself and my family, and something I'll certainly cherish.
So obviously, got just if you weren't sort of a Steve Ball goal scorer type for Wolves tally wise. You have got some special goals within your Wolves career. The one that obviously stands out for the majority of the people is the scoring the opening goal at Anfield in the FA Cup win under Paul Lambert. How much do you remember of that day, or was it still a bit of a blur?
No, funnily enough, I remember quite a lot of it. You ask footballers to remember games they played in, and most of them are a bit of a blur until you're sort of reminded about what happens in the game. But that one in particular, I remember the build up. I remember, you know, the warm up. I remember obviously the goal, hanging on in the game. It was strange, really, but it sort of imprinted in mind about everything that sort of happened. I can still see the ball coming in, Helder swinging in a beautiful free kick to the back post, and I'm sort of all alone. My eyes light up and bang in the opposite corner, and I'm wheeling off thinking I'm Alan Shearer and at the cop end. So yeah, it's certainly one of the highlights of my career, certainly in my time at Wolves. But you know, overall to be able to say I scored at Anfield at the cop and wearing old goal, it was a dream come true.
I think without sort of downplaying it, when you go to teams like Liverpool and the FA Cup from in a Championship side, you subconsciously know that you have to raise your game on that day. You've got young Harry Burgoyne behind you that day. How much pressure was it to have a sort of a youngster coming in for that game?
Harry played fantastically well, as I remember. We had full confidence in him. It wasn't really an issue. We knew all of us were going to have to play close to our best. Liverpool had to have a bit of an off day. We were going to have a little bit of luck. That's kind of how FA Cup giant killings go. You need all those sort of ingredients to be successful, and luckily it all sort of came together that day. Paul Lambert set us up in a certain way. We had the players that could play on the counter attack. We defended really well. Harry made a couple of good saves, and yeah, we missed a fine in the back of the net early, which was key. Hang on to it, and then get a second goal, and it's like, wow, we could really pull off something special. And we did. Portugal, we saw it out. I think they scored quite near the end. And yeah, it was a really great memories for myself. Great memories. It was something that I was really keen on doing coming back to Wolves. I wanted to not only play, obviously, but I wanted to score. I wanted to feel, what it was like to score in the old gold again. And the not better place to do it than at Anfield.
Yeah, there was. I did have a look back through some of your goals earlier. You only got one Premier League goal for Wolves, which was against Hull, I believe. Do you remember much of that?
That's right, yeah. I do. I remember the finish. Unfortunately, I didn't get any more in the Premier League, but it's a nice club to be a part of, a Premier League goal scorer. So it's certainly one that I'll hold dear, and that I remind people of quite often. So yeah, I'm pleased to have managed to score in the Premier League, albeit only the one.
So let me just quickly put you on the spot here. Obviously, going back to the game on Friday night, Fulham, Wolves, what's your score prediction for that?
Well, I think I'm going to sit on the fence because I think it'll be a draw. But I think it's dependent on how Wolves deal with Mitrovic, an informed Mitrovic who has been a thorn in Wolves' side in seasons gone by. And I think dependent on whether Ollie's going to be available or not, I don't know about his kind of situation. I think he could be a big loss just due to Mitro's size and strength and his physicality. I think the way Fulham lost to Aston Villa recently and sort of fell apart a little bit will have dented their confidence because I think prior to that sort of game, they were on some good form. They'd picked up some good results. So I think that's sort of a bit of a leveller. And I think Wolves sort of coming back into the game second half against West Ham will give their confidence. But I think ultimately they're going to sort of nullify each other and maybe a low scoring draw 1-1 is something that I'm predicting.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think it's massively key that Wolves don't lose that game on Friday, but hopefully Nuno doesn't have that mentality that draws the right way of going about it. I'm just going to quickly put you on the spot with a bit of a quick fire quiz now.
Okay,
Who
fire.
was your sort of favourite centre back to work alongside during your spells at Wolves?
I think the one that I've probably got to pick out is the bar, just because the partnership we formed was probably some of the best football I played in my career to date. During that spell of League One title winners and the following season. Like you said before, when I managed to get player of the season playing alongside him, I thought we complemented each other really well. And that sort of was a good spell in my career in terms of personal the way I played in that sort of era. So I'd have to go with Danny, really. Sort of my personal performances on those seasons were some of the best I've had.
Who'd be sort of the team that you would least like to have roomed with back in the day?
Least like to have room with probably either George Ellacobe or Connor Cody, just because they never stop talking and they're so loud. I like to just chill out on an away trip, and they would chew your ear off.
Where'd you keep your chocolate in the fridge or the cupboard?
Anywhere out of arm's reach from the kids, really. Anywhere you can hide it. So wherever's free, fridge or cupboard. It doesn't really bother me, but yeah, as long as if they don't get it.
I forgot you're a top professional. You rarely have chocolate nowadays, do
Of course, of course.
you? Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi, who's your favourite?
I'm probably a Messi fan myself, just for his pure technical and ability, his God-given abilities, second to none, in my opinion.
It's a tough one. I seem to be the only person within the Wolves fan base who thinks Cristiano Ronaldo is the better. I think I sort of talked Kevin Doyle into changing his mind on the last episode purely because of the fact that one of his points was you could put Cristiano Ronaldo centre back for a team and he would still be probably a top level professional. Whereas I don't think you could put Messi in a back four and it'd be the same, would it?
Probably not.
Rich, thanks for your time tonight. Really appreciate you giving us your time and coming on. Hopefully we'll see you back there in Molineux once we can actually get back there ourselves one day. And yeah, just thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Richard here. Before you go back to hearing us dissect the latest Wolves news, some really shoehorn Simpsons references, a bit of 90s film action, and of course, a bit of wrestling, I just want to do a quick shout out for our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. Now, they've done a fantastic job on the Wolves Fancast website, wolvesfancast.com. Please go check it out. But they're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all your design needs from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. There's basically nothing they can't do marketing wise, so make sure you check them out at pixelyetimedia.com and I'll let you get back to enjoying the show.
There we go. Thanks to Richard Stearman for appearing on the Tonight Show. Absolutely top guy. Hope he carries on doing well for Huddersfield. Got the guys, usual guys with me tonight, Jordan and Kim. Let's get quickly straight into it. I don't think either of you are on the podcast this week. Go out there, listen to it all out on the podcast. Eric, you usually find us on Wolves Fancast. Kim, what was your thoughts on the West Ham performance the other night and result?
Quite honestly, embarrassing defensively, quite an absolutely awful performance that you wouldn't even wish that upon your 10-year-old son if he was playing in terms of the defense. You know, that first goal, you know, with Lingard, yeah, it was a great run, but you know, just bring him down. So I can't really look past the defensive performance personally. You know, we looked okay going forward, but I think we've got to go back to a back five to shore up our defence.
Agree with that, Jordan. Back five, or obviously, I think Willy Bolly's going to be out again on Friday. So, what's your thoughts?
I think I've been a big advocate of playing 4-2-3-1 moving forward, but I just don't think we've got the personnel for it. Thing is, if you go to a back five, who'd you play? Like, you know, I think defensively really naive and looking at being a good season for Wolves on the whole, but I think that Monday night for me just screamed. I thought we probably needed 4 or 5 players in the summer to refresh the squad, and watching that on Monday, you could argue we need 7 or 8 just to completely refresh it all and a few people going out. So real disheartening performance for me, I thought. And yeah, we were good going forward, but you give away schoolboy goals, you're never going to win in the Premier League.
No sort of leniency towards the team with the amount of players that we had out and the chances that we missed, that we, you know, ifs and buts, could have easily won that game on Monday.
Maybe, but you've got to play the cards you dealt with now, haven't we? We're 30 games into the Premier League season now. Where are we? 15th, 14th, wherever we are. We're on the page 2 anyway. It's not where we'd expect to be. And look, this Friday now against Fulham, I think it's just, It's all of a sudden it's become a big game, and it never ever should be a big game in a million years, really. But we are where we are, and we've got to treat it as a big game and a must win.
So right, let's get straight to it. We've all had a look on the Ball Sports website. Where's your money come Friday night? Start with you, Kim.
Well, I'm going to be positive, so I'm going to go with a Wolves win. Both teams to score, because I can't see us keeping a clean sheet right now. And Fabio to score at any time, just because I think his performance was really, really encouraging. So there's no way that he's not going to start. I can't see. So that's at 11-1 with Ball Sports. But if you don't fancy Fabio to score, you can just bet on both teams to score and Wolves to win at 6-1.
Nice little £5 bet on there. Pays for an evening's takeaway. bet responsibly as always. Jordan, where's your money at?
I think for the first time in my podcast or Fancast Association history, when I've been asked for a prediction, I'm actually predicting us to lose the game. Not that I want that to happen, obviously. I think there's a few factors in that, defensively being a massive one, and also the sort of the resurgence and the red-hot form of Alexander Mitrovic. He got 5 goals for Serbia in the international break, and he scored at the weekend as well. And any time we play, we tend to turn him into a prime Didier Drogba. So, for me, I'm going Mitrovic first goal scorer at 11-2. And I also believe that Fulham will win the game as well. So I think Fulham and both teams to score at 9-2 is also a bet. So not big odds, but unfortunately for us Wolves fans, what I see happening this Friday.
Right, let's just quickly cast your minds back earlier on in the season. Obviously, Pedro Neto got the winner at Molineux. And I'm going with my usual £1 bet small, win massive tip. If you remember, in the first half, Nelson Semedo had a really good chance, which Ariola pulled off a great save. I'm going for Nelson Semedo to finally break his duck on Friday night. First goal scorer, Wolves to win 2-0, 260-1. £1 bet small, win big. That's how we do it here on the Fancast. Like, I was quite happy with my tips last week in our Fancast pre-match FPL tips. I went with Diogo Jota captain. Good score for him. He would have even got more if he'd started. So I'm happy with that pick. I think you went Kane, didn't you, Kim?
I did. And again, what a great pick by me. And quite Lingard, obviously.
Yeah, it was a nice safe bet, like I said. What about you, Jordan? What did you tip last week? You got Kane as well?
No, Son. So that went well, didn't it?
Son's crying.
Yeah, nice solid 2-pointer from Son. Lovely.
So yeah, Kim had a good week out of the three of us. Again, I think she's just outside the top 10 in the Fancast League. Where's your sort of tips this week? Who's your captain suggestion? Who's your differential?
Well, there's two for me this week. The first one, now don't laugh, but Alexandre Lacazette. Now, I know Arsenal haven't been great, but in terms of fixtures coming up, he's got Sheffield United, Fulham, Newcastle and West Brom. So he's my sort of out there pick. And then I've got a 1 week punt, who is Raheem Sterling, because he didn't start or feature at all in the Champions League last night. Obviously playing Leeds, who can't defend at all, and I think Raheem Sterling on the break against Leeds could be a good captaincy option. Now, I'm not saying long-term, because he might just be a one-week punt for me, but looks good for this game week.
I think he did score in the reverse fixture as well, if I'm right, Ellen Rouse. Yeah, that's a...
Yeah,
there's a gamble behind it always when picking a Man City player, but there's definitely theory behind the madness. What about you, Jordan? Who's your captain? And then we'll come back to Kim for the differential. Oh, was Raheem the differential? He was, wasn't he? Yeah, sorry.
Well, they both are, to be fair.
Yeah. So who's your cheap purchase this week to bring in?
Well, for me, I'm looking at Liverpool, to be honest with you. So I think that if you want a cheap purchase, because Villa without Grealish are looking a bit toothless, I think you could bring in someone like Nathaniel Phillips, to be honest with you. And Matt, you may or may not get a clean sheet on that. My captain for this week is a little bit boring, but I am going for Mo Salah. I think that Liverpool, especially after the game against Real Madrid, they've got it all to do now in the second leg. I think they're the best chance of getting the Champions League might actually be the league now. So I'm going Mo Salah captain. I don't think that Villa team without Grealish are much cop. So I do expect them to get on the home on the score sheet, especially at home. A little differential for me this week, and for people who know my fantasy team and my friends will be laughing. I sort of took a punt a while back on the Burnley, having a triple Burnley defence, and they've not kept a clean sheet for 5 weeks. And I've been punished desperately for it. But they've got Newcastle at home this week. So Pope, Loughton, Tarkowski, They're in my team, and my differential, and they get 28 points.
What about double walls defence with our fixtures coming up? Aren't you considering that?
I think April the 1st was last week.
Yeah. I've just said Nelson Semedo, first goal scorer. So there's your differential for bringing in a defender. Obviously, I think he's around the 5.6 million mark around there. Clean sheet. He's going to get that first goal. You've got £260 in your bank if you stick with my tip. My captain this week, and you'll be surprised to know, it's Diogo Jota again. It's at home to Villa. Cheap in midfield. If you haven't got him, now's the time to get him. He is the new Bruno Fernandes in the FPL this season. Get him while he's cheap. Guaranteed points. He's the one to go with. As always, guys, thanks for your time. Unless you've got anything else you want to say?
No, nothing for me. Up the Wolves, and hopefully I'm completely wrong and we get the 3 points.
3-0 Wolves, going against all my tips in the previous 10 minutes.
Get yourself on Ball Sports. Nelson Semedo, first goal scorer. Wolves 2-0, 260-1. Get yourself on the Ball website and see how much you can get for 3-0 as well. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the support. Keep following the Fancast, and we'll see you next week too for the Sheffield United game, I believe.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, guys.
See ya.